I do still feel the sting of that podcast chastisement that you delivered to me, and I want to be professional and come up with something wild and engaging, like a Speedo.
Hello and welcome to The Answer's a Lemon, the smartest icebreakers for the dumbest dudes. Do you want to have a better conversation? Do you want to go out on a date and instead of asking them for their sign, asking which of the zodiac signs in a battle royale would be the strongest monster on the heap? That's the kind of shit you get out of this podcast. I'm joined today with your god of odd, Connor.
Yeah, I am going to need to do a little zodiac research now, because I know that Cancer is the crab.
Hey, we might be able to actually use this on the podcast. Let's not give this to them for free.
Okay. And Gemini, is that like just two people, or are they conjoined?
And I'm your humble host, Evan.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Okay, no, we have a format. And that's what we'll do. Okay.
Yeah.
Put it away.
All right. And I'm gonna break it up by going straight into our most important first question of the week and asking how you're doing. And I'm gonna go into how I've been doing. It's been bad, Connor. I've not been well. I have back pain. I don't know what's going on.
That's too bad.
Doctors are figuring it out. I am scheduling appointments. It is slightly uncomfortable to sit in this seat currently, but I'm still having fun. But the only reason I bring all this up, not to moan and whine and gripe to you two listeners, but to tell you and Connor about the dumbest fucking show that I watched. So I have been kind of laid up in bed for the past week, and I happened to just take some time off of work anyway, which I ended up just using for sick time. So I had nothing else to do. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to watch this anime that I heard about from talking with Leah called I Want to Be the Strongest in the World.
That sounds very much up your alley.
It gets better. It is the story about Sakura, last name here. She is an idol who becomes a professional wrestler to defend the honor of one of her rivals / best friends / in my opinion, should be girlfriend.
Okay, hang on. She's an idol?
Yes.
Like a dancing pop icon?
Yep, she is the lead singer of the group Sweet.
And she goes from that to wrestle
women's professional wrestling.
Okay. That's quite a change in career.
Right? So, I'm expecting this wonderful story about buff, muscular women just wrestling and being female empowerment and just all this cool shonen shit, but chicks.
Yeah, and what better way to spend your time while you're laid up on bed rest than to watch other people be incredibly athletic?
Exactly. So as I was watching the show, I was like, "Oh, that doesn't look right. Okay, this story is kind of bad. Why are there so many crotch shots?"
Oh.
I realized that this was not an anime of female empowerment. This was just fetish hentai with clothes.
Oh, bud. You gotta watch out for those when you're taking anime recs.
So I go and I look at the studio that produced I Want to Be the Strongest in the World. And
is it the same folks who produced the butt? Based, no, it might have been boob-based combat anime.
No. This studio came out of a merger of two hentai companies.
The bastard child of two hentai companies.
Yep. So it was clothed porn that I watched, and I did end up hate watching all 12 episodes. And the worst part about it is the last two episodes made me care about a single character.
You're kidding me.
I am not.
In the last two episodes, that is unheard of.
The rival that she was defending, the Vegeta of this sexy girl, not hentai show, made me care about her because Vegeta is the best character in any show. You want to like a character? Make him a Vegeta. I like that sad emo boy. I like that sad emo. Yes. So,
and that's for you. And when you say any form of media, you mean it. From not quite porn to Dragon Ball Z, it's all about the sad emo boy.
Yeah, give me my Vegetas. They're just the best. So that's just what I've been sitting with on my breast, pun intended, for however long since I've watched that and seen you. Because I really need to tell people about this because it's driving me insane.
What a wild time.
Yeah. Yeah, so put that in your pipe and smoke it. Just chew on
it. Is nothing safe? Is nothing safe? Why can't they keep all of their dirty physical connotations around two people just getting real sweaty, grappling each other for supremacy? Yeah. I just don't know why anybody would read anything amorous into that activity.
Like, here's the thing. I don't need to be made horny about it. Like, I just want to see the muscles happen. Because, like, wrestle. Here's the thing. I might be horny about it anyway. Who cares? Let me just watch it.
Just gilding the lily for you.
No, it made it worse. I would have enjoyed it so much more if it was like buff women wrestling, not these skinny hentai ladies just basically orgasming.
I would argue, and maybe it's the time for me to not argue about words, but I just can't stop that part of me. Right. I would argue gilding the lily is making it worse. It's excessive and detrimental. That's how I feel about that.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I think that ends up being something that's... I think your connotation use is correct, but I would argue that it's kind of a dealer's choice as far as whether it makes it better or worse. Like, do you like lilies as is, or do you want a artificial, like, reminder of the beauty that once was permanent now, though?
There's another half of it. It's a poem, I think. And I think it's like perfuming the something that smells very nice already also.
I'm glad that we stopped at gilding the lily, because that rolls off the tongue a lot better. How have you been? Enough of my shitty TV shows. How have you been?
I'm doing all right. And can I get permission to mention the weather one time in our podcast about how talking about the weather is not a good way to spend your time? Just once.
I mean, I'm not going to be a dick and say no, but I'm really curious to see how you pull this one off.
Okay, so yes, so it is spring, and that is very nice. But it's the part of spring that I enjoy the most, because flowers have all started blooming, which is lovely, but also difficult, because I get jealous.
Because allergies.
Well, yes, also that. That's a fact. But I get jealous in particular of all the cherry blossom trees and the other kind of trees that are blooming now that make these like huge white and pink
magnolias?
Flowers. Could be. Yeah. Camellias.
Our magnolias are in bloom.
Yeah. And so it always kind of, it bums me out just a little bit, because I wish I had a tree like that. And I stop and think, like, man, I wish I had something like that in my front lawn so I could just, you know, look out my front door and see the flowers. Yeah. And now it has rained enough and the flowers have been blooming long enough that they have dropped a lot of their petals. And so now, instead of looking at a house and being like, thinking, oh, that is just the perfect cottage made all the more perfect by your beautiful magnolia tree, I get to walk past and think, you're going to have to pick all that up. It's already mush underneath my feet. I'm grinding it into the sidewalk. It's gross. But please, please, can't you just take care of our neighborhood? We all live here. This is a community.
This is permissible because you're not actually talking about the weather. you're talking about flowers, Connor.
Okay, good. Good. Glad we got that out of the way.
We did it. We nailed it. Got it in one. Perfect podcast. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10. Rate us on iTunes. Fuck you. anything else, or do you just want to get into it? I know I'm way too punchy.
On the topic of Legos or flowers, I made Lego flowers with my wife. Finally got those.
What kind of flowers?
A variety pack plus a sunflower. Lego sunflowers that we picked up when we went to go visit Lego World.
Fun. Real size or little?
Definitely little. I guess they're the real size, but like of the little sunflowers.
Okay. I'm just thinking of the sunflowers from Samurai Champloo that are like the size of people.
Yeah. Sunflowers come in two sizes, and I think one of them is manageable and the other one is a behemoth. And
I was gonna
definitely
say ginormous,
not that big.
But totally fair. Totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Cool.
I'm going to miss the giant sunflowers in my old neighborhood now that I think about it. Another thing that was nice about watching them wilt and die is eventually they just became flat out scary.
But then you get to eat free sunflower seeds.
Yeah, it's really not stealing from your neighbors if it's just garbage that they're not going to take from their perspective, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's berries that grow outside of our place and people forage all the time.
I feel like if there's any city in the country where that's acceptable, it's Portland, followed closely by Seattle.
Yeah, no, they send out recommendations like pick these. They are invasive. Eat them.
Mm.
So yeah.
All right.
Ooh,
let's get a randomized question.
We got an old one today. Number 7.
Ooh, okay.
All right. In the nascent days of this podcast, we asked Connor, what's one of your irrational fears?
Oh, I forgot that we just had some of those, like, you don't really need to think about it. You don't need to come at it from a weird angle. That's just a good way to start a conversation.
Just interesting questions to ask people.
Yeah.
And like, to be fair, we still ask those. We just have expanded our repertoire to hopefully be entertaining to two listeners. Hey guys, love you.
Well, we like now as we are like continuing to add to our 120 questions, we've already gone through like what, 40, 50 of them, and we're still expanding.
Four times 17 is roughly like what, 60?
60. Yeah, 58. 50? No, 68. 17 times 4 is 56. 28
plus 40. 72. Holy shit, dude. It's
72.
68.
It's 18?
This is 18.
This
last
18.
Episode was 17.
17. 68.
Holy fuck.
Yeah,
This is why we do audio instead of fucking numbers. We're not useful for real society. Connor just spits out gibberish until fucking magic happens, apparently. Thank God there's a fucking calculator in your pocket at all times. Christ alive.
Anyway.
Old questions. What's your irrational fear? Is it getting numbers wrong on a podcast? Because boy howdy, that might be real now. Fuck you.
Gosh, I think the hottest irrational fear I have is grasshoppers.
Ooh.
And
why?
You know, it's not even like I can't even defend it. It's not an irrational fear that I barely think is irrational, but I'm like, I've got a really good reason. I just had a freaky experience with a grasshopper, and now every time I see one, I just see them as like a small spring that's going to explode in any of 100 different directions.
Cool. What happened to you?
I was in the woods and I was between like groups of people who were hiking. I think I was like maybe 9 years old or something like that. And I was a little too slow for the fast people. I was a little too fast for the slow people.
Okay.
And it was just me.
Connor marching to the beat of his own drum, even as a kid.
That's me. Or just mildly out of shape. And I didn't enjoy going outside.
Sure. So either one.
I have already given away the real punchline of this story.
Whammo.
Just try to forget people. Go back in your minds. I found a bright green plastic grasshopper. It was like, in my young mind, probably like 4 inches long.
Yeah.
And I just thought that somebody had dropped a toy in the middle of the woods and picked it up and thought, wow, that's really cool. This is a very realistic toy grasshopper. Wow, it's super real. And then it jumps past the side of my face because it was both chill enough to get picked up by a child that thought it was plastic, but not so chill that it wouldn't leave at a certain point.
Okay. So it just spooked you as a little one.
Yep. Cool. I got spooked. Cool. And so now, grasshoppers kind of wig me out because I see them and I'm like, you can't trust those things. They're unpredictable. They fool you into thinking that they're safe, but they're not.
Okay. How do you do with the noises of them? Is it just seeing them, or do you, like, when you hear them in the grass, you're like, ah, shit, buddy?
No, the noise is fine. It's just when I see them. Because when they're in the grass, I know they don't need me. I don't need them. We're not bothering each other. We're in our own spaces. I make loads of wild noises all the time. Like, let's all just get along. Okay. But once I can see them, that's when I know that things could get dicey at any moment. Because now they've walked into my house, my life. And, you know, never the two shall cross.
Okay. I see. That makes sense. Thank you for sharing.
I did have a follow-up experience with a grasshopper in my room once.
How old were you then?
Not that much older, but old enough that I shouldn't have had any problems taking care of bug. Like 12, I want to say, or like maybe even 14. I really don't know. All I know is there was a grasshopper. I saw it, and I had a fish tank and a little fish net.
Yep.
And like, I mustered all of my ability to rein in my fear to like sort of like toss the net on top of it from across the room. But I knew fully well I hadn't like actually caught it, but I let myself pretend I did. And I went to sleep, couldn't find it next day. Didn't exist.
Perfect. That worked out great. Love that for you.
Vivid dream, mad hallucination. I'll never know.
Who knows?
The same grasshopper all those years later, back for revenge.
Oh, what's that on your mantle right now? I'm afraid of using the urinal that's next to a stall. That's my irrational fear.
What's the threat?
I don't know. That's that's the scary part.
That's deeply irrational.
Yeah. So it all started as a joke that became real in my brain.
Hmm.
So I don't know if you two listeners have ever read Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, but I know Connor has.
Oh, yes.
And there is a spinoff called Squee, which is about the world's most terrified boy.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the arcs, Squee has to go take a little pee, and he uses the urinal next to a stall where someone is having a rough bowel movement that ends up in some sort of like unknown Lovecraftian destruction experience of said man in said stall.
Too horrifying to describe. Like all good Lovecraftian horrors.
So I was like, I'm not going to use the urinal next to the stall. That was bad for Squee. And that joke as a high schooler, and now I'm like, I'm not going to use the urinal next to a stall. Like, I don't want like someone to reach out and grab me.
Who knows what
I don't want like some Cthulhu tentacle to come and just like suck me into the other plane. I'm going to go use the really small urinal for fucking like 6 year olds and squat down real low because I've got bad aim instead of using that other normally sized one.
That's right.
Because it's way too close.
Chances of getting pee splatter on your pants, very high in the little urinal, but that's so survivable.
Yeah,
chances of tentacles covered in hooks and blood reaching out from a toilet, very low.
Or worse,
not survivable.
Stall person reaching out to grab your leg.
Like stall that. Stall person.
No, thank you. Mm. Why is this what you chose to do with your life, sir? Or madam, to be fair, there are all
there
gender
there should not
now.
Be a madam in the men's room.
That's why I said all gender bathrooms now, Connor.
Well, there's that. Usually those are one per, but under any circumstances, like it wouldn't make me feel better to have a madam reaching out from under a stall.
Or anybody. No one. Don't touch me.
Of any description.
Honestly, in all general, that's probably going to sound okay. in all general standing, like, I don't want anyone really touching me in general, just real life stall or not. Like, yeah. I still think back to that time that we were in that like summer camp thing during high school, and our teacher made everybody give back massages, and that one girl was like, "Evan, I'm giving you a back massage," and wouldn't let me say no. And I still am ready to throw up when I think about that thought.
It's just such a creepy thing to do.
And it was used as like a learning experience of like, see like how you made Evan do a thing he didn't want to do? And
see,
like, look at me now.
Into it.
Fucking 15 years later. I still remember all of you, and I'm not going to dox you because I'm not shitty, but I got anger in my heart and brain place for you because you touched my back when I said, please don't. And I had all of the fucking body language of get the fuck away. I was a small, God damn it, Evan, stop hitting your mic. Small trapped animal. And they're like, hey, they need some love. No, they need some fucking space, motherfucker.
That's right. That's right. Love.
Don't touch me. Leave me alone.
Love means don't touching people who don't want you to touch them. That's what love is.
You know what's sexy? Consent.
Yeah. Yeah. And not telling high schoolers to rub each other's backs.
Oh my God. No kidding. Like, jeepers creepers. Like, leave me alone. Urinal next to stall. Now we're on number 21. Another old one.
Before we jump into it, I will say, your irrational fear of peeing next to a bathroom stall has made me realize how strongly I feel about people exiting and entering bathroom stalls only one way. If anybody goes into or out of a bathroom stall any way other than through the door, it would greatly upset me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's a hard and fast rule that I did not know I had.
Yeah. I always hate the stalls that have like the inch wide gap between the door and the jams. Like,
hate the inch.
Like, I don't want you. Like, I understand. Like, thank you for like not interrupting me while I'm doing my business. But like, I didn't want you to like look and see that there was a body in here. Like, if you're gonna go that mile, like, just crane your neck a little low and look for feets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be the decent person.
Yeah.
But more
check
importantly,
out the feet,
Connor,
in the bathroom.
If an alien race discovers Earth and they're perfect in every way except for one thing that just completely ruins alien-human relations, what is it?
Okay, I think it would be that they have evolved so far and they've become so sophisticated that they have lost contact with the pleasure of farts and the hilarity of bodily noises and functions. I think I could never trust a species that doesn't understand that it's funny to fart.
Okay.
And they don't need to fart. It's okay if they don't have like a butt equivalent that they expel gas from and it makes a funny toot noise. Yep. They just need to do something with their body that is embarrassing. Like, they can't be so evolved that they're like, oh, it's natural. It doesn't mean anything. It's just like existing. No, there's got to be something embarrassing about your alien bodies that you think is a little embarrassing, but funny and like usable in like in just a lighthearted way so that we could connect on that.
Shame. You want them to feel shame.
I don't want them to feel shame. I want them to feel mild embarrassment, just like a little bit of bashfulness and humor about it. Of that, like,
shame.
Not shame. I can't stress this enough. I'm not ashamed of my farts. I feel no shame whatsoever. I just recognize that there's like a little tension, a little social tension around letting your body expel matter in public. And there are some forms of that that I would feel shameful about. But most of them, the most common ones, should just be like, or don't we all just like, oh, I forgot for a second. I was maybe getting a little too full of myself, but then I remembered that I am but a mere mortal. It's like a memento mori, but farts.
Highbrow and blue at the same time. I'm impressed. I've got nothing to say to this. I'm sorry. I think we've null and voided our podcast.
They just need farts. It doesn't need to be a fart, but there needs to be a fart.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be interested what it is, like, especially if it were like a mental thing, like, you know, it's like they're a telepathic alien race, and it's like they butt dialed. It's like they're trying to talk to Connor in Connor's brain, but they're talking to Evan. It's like, hey, you know, Evan looks kind of dumpy today. It's like, hey, this is Evan. It's like, oh man, bud, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, like, I just had a thought that, like, popped into your head, and I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that would be fine. Right. That would totally work. Yeah.
Right. I understand. I think the blueness of passing gas was like, oh, man, is this really what I want to be doing with my life in a podcast? Or is this, like, really what I signed up for?
if their waste, like, the waste product that they expel is just, like, a bright flash of light. You know, imagine that you're like aliens and humans are living side by side and you're just in a dark movie theater. And then there's just like a green strobe and they go, sorry.
I love the idea of, like, it's the Aurora Borealis. And they're like, it's like, oh man, that was so beautiful. It's like, oh yeah, sorry. I just had Mexican for lunch.
This is very embarrassing amongst my people.
Oh man, hang out with us, Warwick. Is like, I've got a rave that I want you to go to and do all the lights for, please.
I will.
I need to make you sick, sir.
The flip side of this equation is, if their Aurora Borealis expulsion is beautiful to us, then imagine them just, like, enjoying the sound of a good long belch the way that we might enjoy, like, a fine bottle of Chianti, or like, oh, what a beautiful sunset. Like, you just stop and appreciate it for a little while. Every time somebody just, like, practically loses their lunch, they're belching so long.
Just the equivalence of, like, the dad hands on hips for this aliens. Yeah, no, I think it would break people. I think the problem would be that they're not Catholic enough. I think that's the concern trouble human alien relations, because, like, it troubles human to human relations a lot. Yeah. And, like, not to get too real on this podcast, but, like, you know, if they're not Catholic enough, we're gonna be in trouble. And, like, as a Catholic, I'm saying this because, god fucking damn it, I'm so sorry for people.
Okay, now when you say not Catholic enough, do you mean that they, like, don't recognize our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ enough? Or they don't have the same, like, uptight hang-ups and proneness to, like, spasms of guilt and shame
Catholic? No. That's why I was driving so hard on shame, because I was like, are we going to overlap in more ways than one? But no, I'm talking, like, actual, like, tenets, religious belief. Like, I mean, like, let's be honest with what the Catholics are doing nowadays, Connor. They're still doing what they always did.
That is true. Catholics be Catholicking.
And I don't think aliens are an exception.
Okay. Now, so let's say... all right. Are you proposing that they come to Earth and, like, accept the proselytization of religion? They're like, I never thought about it that way. That's really cool. Rose from the dead, you say? 3 days later? No, on the third day. Not 3 days later. On the third day? That, it's confusing, but it's on the third day. Oh, wow. Tell me more about this Sabbath. You do what with his body? Fascinating. Or are you suggesting that they come down and they're like, we watched Jesus on Earth and we loved it. You know, we've waited until now to talk to you about how much we are Christian also. And frankly, we have some notes about your form of Christianity. Ooh. We have a different interpretation.
Ooh.
But quite frankly, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We have no... And we think that your Pope is the highest spiritual reference. And we have been recording everything that they have said for all of time.
I think it's both. I think anything to shake up Catholics in this situation is going to just shake up everything.
If the aliens finally showed themselves by saying, like, all right, you could be doing a lot better about this. not as like, all right, humanity, it's time for us to better you as a species. It's like, okay, Catholic Church. I think, you know what? We had a couple of bumps along the way too, but we have done a lot better at this than you, and we need you to do better.
You had it in the 1600s with the Puritans. You went away from it. We need to get blue laws going again.
Oh. We really, really miss the old hats.
You can't. Why have you abandoned drink. Them? Put away your alcohol and cannabis.
You got so close in the 20th century. The United States was a shining beacon of prohibition. What happened?
Yeah, okay. I think any relation... I think I need to change it from not Catholic enough to anything Catholic adjacent is going to fuck with everything. Catholicism.
So, okay. And so it would be okay with you if they were like Catholicism, but incredibly uptight about psychoactive substances.
Oh, I don't have any say in this.
Oh.
I'm probably fine with all of the aliens. We're talking about like... ruining we're not talking about alien Evan relations, Connor. We're talking about alien human relations.
Oh, okay, I see.
Listen to the would you all right, okay, I'm cutting this out of the podcast because you need to fucking start listening to the questions and doing something good for our two listeners. All right, like I've been letting you slide, but you keep not listening to our questions and answering different questions. This is a serious, honest to God, professional fucking podcast. Do you know how much money I've put into this situation, Connor? Too much. Do you know how much time I've put into it? More than you. I'm so angry right now. Stop it. Listen to the damn thing and do your fucking job.
Yes, Mr. Host, sir. I'm sorry. I'll do better, Mr. Host, sir. I'll try not to have so much fun and ignore your words so much.
I'm sorry, I broke myself. I hope you found it funny, because I did. Number 93. What would you like to wear but don't think you could pull off? Oh, God. It's streetwear. I want to wear streetwear so fucking bad. I think streetwear is like the coolest, tightest thing.
You mean like tracksuits?
No. Well, you know, like, but like, think the tracksuits that cost like $300.
Like the ones that you wear when you're in a Russian gang?
No. When you're in a music video.
Huh.
Think like Asian chic. Mm-hmm. A lot of like baggy stuff going on, but like tight joggers with like weird words and styling. Okay. And like weird grommets and zippers, like shirts that are like angled, like the hem is a line diagonal instead of just like straight around, oversized things, like big cool like chunky high top kicks, just like stuff that is so cool. And I'm just a fucking nerd. I could not put that shit on my body and make it work. I would love to, though. Because I always find it so sharp. And I love all the music and, like, art influences on it. But also, I don't have, like, $400 to buy, like, the expensive shit. Because, like, let's be real. I'm not going to buy the fucking expensive shit.
No.
I don't think I can pull it off lifestyle or aesthetic-wise. But I'd like really cool streetwear.
Yeah, like $400, it's like having a car that's too nice to drive. Like, could you even wear it anywhere other than around the house?
I mean, I'd have to wear it on the streets, Connor.
Streetwear. You make a good point, Evan. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, like
they would take it away from you if you didn't bring it out on the streets at least from time to time.
I'm hitting you with the Google search, and you can see it's all like baggy and weird and fun designed, like color blocked. It's got unnecessary pockets. It looks like slightly unfunctional. It's great. It's so cool.
That is some wild stuff.
I would love to pull that off, but I know I can't.
Arguably, half of these Google image search results aren't pulling them off either. So I hope you don't take it too personally.
I don't.
That's good.
But it
will
continue. Like, I will continue to wear my jeans and dumb, cute t-shirts instead of fucking streetwear. But that's what I would like. What about you, man? What would you like to wear, but don't think you can pull off?
You know, Evan, I do still feel the sting of that podcast chastisement that you delivered to me. And I want to be professional and come up with something wild and engaging, like a Speedo or no clothes at all. I just want to be comfortable in my skin. But neither of those things is true. I just want to wear one of those, like, big, fluffy, like, rabbit skin bomber hats that, like, have the flaps that go all the way down over your ears.
Yeah, like, you can, like snap them up top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like, leather, you know? Like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I just don't live, and I don't think I've ever lived anywhere cold enough for that to make sense. I don't think you can walk around even in New England with that in the dead of winter, unless you're in the middle of a raging blizzard, without people going like it's a bit much, you know?
Like, to be fair, I remember in high school, Joey had one of those hats and it looked great on him, but like, he didn't need to be wearing that. I tried it on. It was way too warm.
Yeah. No, I don't think, like, maybe, I think there are probably people out there who can. Even if the, like, weather situation, I'm sorry, that's two. Even if the weather situation demands it. I remember Joey carrying that off quite nicely.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I'm that person. I think that it would appear to be an overreaction to the weather.
You just, you either need to care less supervisors, the onlookers think. Mm. Or you need to become vastly more sensitive to temperature change.
Yeah. Yeah. What if I develop some kind of like ear condition where if my ear, like my ears are just constantly way too cold?
I don't know. I mean, from my and Leah's experience, apparently if you live in Seattle long enough, like you get incredibly sensitive to slight temperature changes because people are wearing like fucking like the puffer jackets and we're walking around in like this light hoodie that I'm wearing right now. It's like, it's not that cold, guys. What? It's like, oh, it's so cold today. It's like 60 degrees. Like 60 degrees is fucking springtime in Massachusetts there, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no, this is nothing.
I don't want to be carrying a bomber hat into that kind of a situation.
So, well, maybe I would like get, for you,
you know
to,
what?
To
if
get,
hyperwinter ever comes around,
get out. Shut up. I'm shutting down the podcast. I'm sick of this. I'm sorry, two listeners. Like, you're going to need to find a new host. Like, I can't keep up with this. Oh my God. This God is too odd for me. But going to your ear condition, it reminded me. So I got x-rays of my back to find out what's going on with it. And like the pain I'm super cocked in like the way I hold my body, like just to deal with the pain. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's like, oh, you've got scoliosis. I'm like, no, I don't. So Leah was like looking it up and she's like, can you suddenly get scoliosis? And it's like either an accident horrifically fucks you up or it is like degenerative over the course of your lifetime. So the new terrifying disease that we've come up with is severe sudden onset scoliosis.
That would really suck if you were just living your life and being like, my back is, I feel a bit of a twinge. And then you like lean over to the side to pick something up and you sit back, like you stand back up, but you don't go all the way back up.
And like your spine just wiggled like a worm and then just stayed.
Yep. That's you from here on out. Shouldn't have bent over.
So yeah, I've been having stress dreams about severe onset scoliosis now.
You know, I will say, I had an opposite experience of a doctor telling you you had scoliosis and you having to defend yourself about it.
Yeah.
One time a doctor told me, I think it was in high school, for like one of those like mandatory scoliosis screenings.
Yeah. Why did we have those?
Of all the diseases to get a check on every couple of years, I do wonder why scoliosis like got that funding.
I don't know. We should look it up after the podcast and then never tell anybody.
But I got a doctor said, or like, I think it might've been a nurse. I'm not sure. Yeah. A medical professional said, oh, you have a little bit of scoliosis. Not that big a deal. And then just moved on from that told me nothing about it. Maybe she was exaggerating, or maybe she just thought like, oh, he already knows this. Or she was like, yeah, it's subtle. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. But like,
not going to affect your life.
I've never stopped wondering about whether I may have mild scoliosis.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know. What are the ramifications of that? Maybe I'm going to get sudden onset, like severe scoliosis. I'm just waiting for the day to come for the scoliosis. It's biding its time, just ready to spring on me.
Waiting.
Hiding. Like a grasshopper.
Oh man, that's better. You did better than what I was going to do. I like it. Nicely done. You're back on the podcast.
Yes. Tight.
Fuck. Can you believe we're on our last question already? We've done it. We did it. We did the dang thing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Let's find out what it is.
And then stop asking each other anything.
Now, do we ask this one already? Is this a loaded die? No. Okay. It's different. Okay. Wow. What a thrilling thing to end this podcast on. Number 27. Hey, Connor, what's your preferred writing tool? How did this make it out here?
I got to tell you, I'm kind of surprised that made the cut. That must have been in those like early days when we didn't realize we would have almost 200 of them at some point. We're like, we're running out of ideas. We've already got 20 questions.
Yeah, let's just ask some questions. And like, now it's like, oh, wait, I want to share it with people and I want it to be good. And apparently this was not the person who was creating this idea with you.
Yeah, the bar just dropped too low.
Yeah.
I do have a preferred gel pen.
I mean, that's the fucking thing. I do have a preferred writing implement as well. Like, why is this question as bad as it is, as pertinent as it is?
I wish I knew the brand. Like, I wish I could really dive into it with you. But there's a gel pen.
Yep.
Blue, black. I don't have a strong preference on color. It's something legible, you know. But I just want it to glide. I've got such a terrible way of gripping pens and pencils. It always tires my hand out.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's somebody just couldn't break me when I was a child, but I desperately needed a breaking. And now I'm just too old and I haven't gotten less stubborn over time, so I'm not going to fucking change now. But yeah, like nice smooth gliding implement, so it doesn't hurt my contorted claw that I use.
That's totally fair and real. Why do you hold your pen that, like, how did God fuck up that bad when he made you that you're all like crinkled?
You know, the thing is, I think like the right way to hold a pen or pencil is not really all that intuitive, and I think that nobody taught me to do that before I figured out my own way of holding a pen. And then when people were like, no, you should hold it more like this. In my mind, I thought, my way is good enough. You do it your way. I'll do it my way. I can write this way. It's okay.
Okay. You're just weird, man. I love you to death, but like,
it's kind of my way of doing things.
It's fine. Hey, like, I learned when doing art, you're supposed to like draw from your shoulder. I use my wrists.
I don't even think I ever got past like the first half of my wrist. So my shoulder doesn't even come into the equation.
Yeah. I practiced it when I was like practicing art a lot more, but more important things have taken over my life and I've allowed that to happen.
Yeah, what about you? What's your stylus of choice?
This answer has changed so many times over the course of my life. Because like when I was young, I wanted to write in nothing but pencils. And God help you, if a Ticonderoga pencil ever came across my path, I would snap that fucker in half.
You didn't care for Ticonderogas?
They were the worst. It had like the softest, like worst feeling lead. It didn't look good on the page, and the eraser was a stone.
Hmm. No, that's just bad. That's no good.
Just smeared and ripped. It was useless. I liked the stuff from the Dollar Tree. It had a really soft, soft eraser, and I don't know. It just went in my Jaju's pencil sharpener.
I will admit I did have a strong preference for a mechanical pencil because the tip doesn't get dull. It does break from time to time, but like I hate, it's like a deep sensory, like sends chills down my spine, yeah, writing with a dull pencil.
Ah, okay. I used to I liked the wood ones because I used to take a kitchen knife and just like sharpen it at my house
because
we didn't have any pencil sharpeners. I never thought to ask my mom for one. I just decided to use a fucking knife like a fucking monster. But then there's those pens that my dad stole from work that we used for like 4 years that I was really into. I mean, everybody steals pens from work. You're not stealing pens from work. Like, you're not taking advantage of your benefits, man.
Yeah. The way that I know that it's okay to steal pens from work is that you do it on accident and nobody cares. If you can steal something on accident, it's probably not really theft.
Yeah. But I think where I am today, I really like, I too am with you with the gel pen. Gel pens are really nice, and it is that glide, that smooth, really nice fluidity.
Don't need to push. No really pressure necessary. Yeah.
And the two types that I use most often, this is a Papermate InkJoy gel pen. This is one of Leah's preferred ones. This is kind of like a pleasure writer. It feels really, really nice, but it bleeds through the paper like nobody's business.
That's not okay.
But it feels good. It's got great ink. It looks really sharp. And it's got grip all over it. Super, super pleasant to feel. Just
feels
nice
good in
pen.
The hand. Glides across the page, but writes more than you need it to. Ink that goes deeper than you want. That's a deal breaker.
And then we've got the Daily Driver. It is the Pilot G207, which
one.
I actually knew off the top of my head before grabbing the pen. And I was assuming this would be the one for you because it is one of the best fucking pens ever made. It is the only pen that I've ever actually used the entire ink cartridge in.
Wow.
It was my first job, and I was writing more poetry than doing my work, and I'm still proud of that to this day. And this is what I like to write my lyrics in. Fun fact.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah,
I do. One of my favorite things about those pens is the magical goop that sits on the top.
The little nib.
Not the nib. No.
But like they got. The nib. It's on the nib. You gotta pop it off though.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things about those pens is how deconstructible they are, because that was my fidget when I was in school, was just taking it apart, putting it back together again.
We weren't allowed to fidget as kids.
We didn't know that term. We didn't know that existed.
And now look at us. I've got butterfly knives. You've got pens still, I assume?
I have my beard. I've noticed lately, when I'm really into my work and I need to do something with a spare hand, I do the very thoughtful beard stroke.
You're not breaking out the butterfly knife that I got you?
No, that requires too much concentration to be a good fidget for me. I need something that like my hands will do without me even thinking about it.
Got to practice more. It'll start happening.
Deck of cards is also a good one. Totally got to have one on hand though. I never think to go find one or keep one at my desk, but.
Oh, I try to keep a deck of cards and a cribbage board in my bag at all times.
I keep cards and cribbage in my car and my wife's car, just to be sure.
There you go. Love that.
But when you got the like ink container, it has like the very satisfying little like that you like take off the top, and then you look inside of it and you think, I could definitely touch the goop on top of the ink that keeps the ink from getting dry. And every now and then, take a mechanical pencil, you click, 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 click. And then you just kind of dip it into the little goop at the top. You go, I did it. I can do
there
that.
There you go. I love it. Love that for you. The Papermate ones, they got that little ball on the nib too when you first get it. So twice your pleasure, bud.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's like you know, taking the plastic film off of a brand new screen or something.
Yeah, people really like doing that. I've still got the film on my new computer. I haven't taken it off yet. Forgot it was even on there. Oh, well.
You got to raw dog it, my friend.
No.
You got to let it go.
No, man.
Feel your devices.
No, safety first. Life's too short. All right, I got to ask, though. Preferred color of ink?
Black.
I'm a blue. Leah likes black herself. I don't know. I just one time, because I wrote letters in a past life, and one of the letters I exchanged with my friend, I wrote hers in black ink because she didn't like blue ink, and she wrote to me in blue ink because I didn't like black ink.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, she was fun. We didn't really stay friends after freshman year, but big fan of her. Hope she's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. Oh, I do remember why we introduced this question. It's so we had a way of figuring out whether our friends are secretly graffiti artists. Because if they say my favorite stylus is a spray paint can,
man,
then you know
that's so cool. I thought we put it on the podcast because we can get a lot of conversation out of pens. Who knew?
It turns out, there's a lot.
Who knew?
We spend a lot of time with pens, so we have opinions about them.
Yeah, looks dumb on paper. Pretty solid in practice. How about that? Little lessons you learn when listening to The Answers of Lemon. And you know what? You made it to the end of the podcast. You didn't need to listen this far, but you did, and we appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. If you want to get your own questions on the podcast and answered by your God of Odd, you can hit us with an email at
lemonanswers@gmail.com.
That's lemonanswers@gmail.com. If you want to get parasocial with us, we are on all of the social medias. Connor, what is our handle?
The answer is a lemon.
The answer is a lemon. You can find us on fucking all of them. We've got all of them. Just search it. You got
remembering
it.
Remembering everything today.
But yeah. No, really appreciate all your time. Appreciate your time, Connor. Love you guys. Bye.